don't get one of them hotel rooms in New York, you can just say you're seeking asylum. And they're going to take care of you. Luxury hotel for you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Why don't you turn to Psalm 81. Psalm 81. I'm going to read verse 15. I could read the whole psalm. I don't think it was written by David. It looks to me like it was written somewhere around that time, though. And I find it interesting that God has this way of speaking. Notice it says, the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. Now, this is an interesting statement, especially after Brent preached this morning on submission, and I thought that was excellent. There's an awful lot of room for submission. Even some of our songs had to do with that, doing God's will, thinking about God's will, submitting to God's will. There's an awful lot to be said here. I'm just going to bring out 6 points in this passage. The 6 points are as follows. First of all, it's an inclination. People are insubordinate. They don't like to submit. There's an inclination in ourselves to not submit. Second of all, it's an explanation. If you're not submitted to God, it might be because of hatred. You might ought to consider your own motivations. You don't know your own heart, by the way. Third, it's a lamentation. It's where God says, if only. If only. And you've had some lamentations in your life too. If only I had done it differently, made a different decision, if only. All right, number 4, it's an obligation. Did you know that you, just because you're human, you're living on this earth, you're breathing God's air and you're eating God's food, you have some obligations. And I know we don't like obligations, but there is a should have in your life. There's an ought to in your life. You've got some moral imperatives. All right, number 5, it's an observation. It's wise counsel. It'll help you out if you pay attention to it. And number 6, it's an invitation. It's a solution. You got a solution. And all of these things, I'm going to have to go in order because I can really get confused and lost if I don't pay attention to my order. And that's why I set them up like that. Anyway, let's go ahead and ask the Lord to bless this message this morning. God, I ask you to take care of us. God, I want you to talk to us and I ask you to empower the words. We can only reach the ears, God, but you can reach the heart and I ask you to touch. Somebody here doesn't know you, Lord, as Savior. I ask you to just change their mind. Make them submit to you, surrender to you, and give their life to you. I ask you that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Number 1. The statement is, they should have submitted. They should have surrendered. They should have given in. They should have. All right? That's an inclination. Let me tell you something. There is an inclination in people to not submit. I don't know why. I think the Bible explains it sort of as an inbred sin. Somehow we have an inclination to sin. But I know that we don't think of ourselves as rebellious to God. And many times we can look at our sins and think that they are caused by something other than rebellion. For example, weakness of the flesh. I can imagine a drug addict saying, it's not because I'm rebellious, I'm just weak, I can't help myself, I have this craving, I have this desire. The drunkard to be the same way. Someone else has his own explanation for why they make decisions, and it's true. It's not always open, outward rebellion. Sometimes it's just weakness. Sometimes it's just, I'm sort of between a rock and a hard place, and I don't know what to do, and I choose wrong, and I follow my impulses. I do what I want. I do what I feel like I have to do. It's just I'm so controlled by my emotions. I'm rebellious only in an inadvertent sense. I'm not trying to be rebellious. I wind up doing what I don't want to do. And I understand that. I get it. But I want to point out to you that it's still rebellion.
Amen. Right.
For example, The drug addict, he doesn't want to go back to the drugs. He has this craving, he has this... But that first time he took drugs, that was rebellion.
Right.
He knew he wasn't supposed to do that. He knew, but he didn't want to not do it. He wasn't craving it at that moment. It wasn't an inadvertent thing. He was just plain rebellious to God's will. He didn't care about God's will in that moment. And that's the same way. There's a lot of things you make a decision to do, and once you open that door, the door falls off of its hinges and you can never close it again. And drugs is one of those things. Alcohol is one of those things. Hey, let me tell you something. Pornography is one of those things. You can just get into that and it'll just change your mind. It'll change the way you think. It'll change the way you desire. It'll change your thoughts for the rest of your life. You can never undo it. You can't ever unsee what you see. You can't ever unimagine what you've imagined. And so it's true. Now you're stuck in this vortex, this whirlpool, and you can't get out. But it was rebellion that got you in there. It was that step after step after step of not caring what God thinks. Not caring what mom and dad think. Not caring what the government thinks. Not caring what the laws say. Not caring. That's called rebellion. You see, it's an inclination. There's something in us that makes us rebellious. We want to go against what God wants. Now, I get it. You know, you were raised as a child. I remember President Bush, the first Bush, the older Bush. I remember he was at some place eating, and they offered him broccoli, and he says, "I don't want broccoli." And you know, it got all the broccoli growers upset. And they said, "Well, what are you doing? You know, you're dissing on our livelihood. We grow these kind of vegetables, and we don't need the president knocking them down." And he had a chance to answer one time. Some reporter asked him, and he said, "Look, I grew up, my mom made me eat broccoli every week. I had to eat broccoli all the time. Now I'm a grown up, I ain't eating broccoli no more." He didn't apologize. Too bad. You want something, you want me to praise what you grow? Grow something I like. That's the way he's thinking. You get to the point in your life, you say, "I don't want to be told what to do anymore. I want to make my own decisions. I want to just go my own way. I want to be free." They think freedom is me just doing whatever in the world I feel like doing at this moment. But maybe you're mistaken. Maybe your idea of freedom really isn't freedom. Maybe it's rebellion. Maybe it's an inclination in you. Has it ever crossed your mind that you don't know your own motivations? You don't know what's causing you to do the things you do. You don't know why you think the way you think. You don't know why you aim against God. You don't know. You don't get it. You don't see the warfare that's going on all around us, even in this room. There's a spiritual warfare going on that's inclining us to do what God does not want us to do. And if you're wise, you've already recognized this. And you've submitted yourself to God's way of thinking, even though it's not your way of thinking. Amen. Even though it doesn't come naturally to you. And that's an amazing thing that people just say, "Oh, I want to do what's natural. I just want to do what comes to me. I just want to do whatever I have a whim to do. If I have a capricious whim to do something, I want to just be free to do it." But freedom always comes with responsibility. And freedom always comes with accountability. You have the freedom to make decisions right now because you will be accountable for them later. If you aren't going to be accountable, then I can't give you that kind of freedom. If there's no accountability and you're willing to make a bad decision and there's no accountability, well, we just need to take you out and shoot you right now to solve a problem for us. But if there is accountability, then I can give you freedom. And God can give you freedom if there's accountability. If someday you're going to have to give an account and you're going to have to bear the brunt, well, then you've got freedom. That's what freedom is. Freedom is not doing whatever you feel like doing. Freedom is having accountability so that you have the responsibility to do whatever you're supposed to do now, and nobody's over you forcing you to do it. It's freedom with accountability, and that's what actually exists. that other kind of freedom doesn't really exist. It doesn't really exist. There's always going to be accountability. Now, I know it doesn't look like it, but God has made a promise that judgment is coming and accountability is coming. So you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to avenge yourself. You don't have to get everything right. You don't have to fix all the bad drivers. You don't have to have a road rage incident because you saw this guy getting away with something. You don't have to do that. Everybody's going to get what's coming to them. Everybody is. Don't worry about it. But that means you too. And so this inclination you have to be rebellious against God, it's absolute. It is common. It is pervasive. It's everywhere. It's in almost every one of your decisions. You have a simple inclination to rebel against God's will. It's natural in you. And the solution is to submit. Go against your own will. Now that's hard. I agree, that's hard. But there's also an explanation in here. He says the haters of the Lord should have submitted. And did you realize that they didn't submit, that there was a motivation for why they're not submitting? It's because they hate the Lord. But I can just imagine everybody who hears me say that would say, oh, I don't hate the Lord. Yeah. I mean, even atheists will tell you they don't hate God. Although I have known atheists that tell me they hate him. They hate the idea of the Christian God. They hate him. But I've talked to many people and I tell them something and they don't like what I tell them about what the Bible says. And they say, well, no, I don't hate God. I'm not against God. I'm on God's side. I believe in God. What have you? But if I tell you you're doing wrong according to the Bible and you get mad at me, you're not getting mad at me.
Right.
You're getting mad at God.
Yeah.
And I've told people, I told a lady just the other day, I said, you know, you're living in fornication. She was asking me, well, what do you see that is wrong in my life? What am I doing wrong? And I said, well, you're living in fornication. You claim to be a Christian, but you're living in fornication. You're shacking up and you're not getting married. That's fornication. That's not God's will. You don't know me. You don't understand. I don't know why you have to be this way. You're so judgmental. No, no, no. You're not mad at me. It's no skin off my nose. I lose nothing if you commit fornication. I'm just telling you what God says.
Amen.
He says, flee fornication.
Amen.
He says, flee it. He says, it's a horrible thing. God says it's horrible. The Bible says, Paul the apostle says in the Bible, let not once fornication be named among you.
Amen.
Whoa. But I thought we were free. I thought we just do whatever we want. I thought that was an old-fashioned thought. No, no. It's what God thinks. It's God's will. And you hate God's will. Oh, no. It's not because you just don't agree with the preacher. It's because God's got a way of thinking that you don't like. And when the preacher tells you what God says, you erupt in anger because you hate God. Think about it, folks. If you get upset at the preacher because he preaches on sin, you're not mad at the preacher.
Amen.
You're mad at God.
Amen.
Because this is what God said.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what kind of fornication. I've talked to homosexuals say, there can't be anything wrong with what I do. Nobody can judge me. You're being too judgmental. I'm just telling you what God said. God said he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because they went after strange flesh. That bothers you? Then you're mad at God. You're mad at God. It's a real problem. You say you don't hate God, but why are you so angry at preachers? Now, there's a lot of preachers that won't mention your sin. You can just pick and go. You can go to almost any church and they won't mention your sin. I know a fella living in fornication. And he's going to church and he's a member of the church in good standing. And I say, well, what kind of church is that? Because you're just shacking up. You're living in fornication. How can you can go to a church where you're living in fornication and the pastor doesn't say anything? Try it here. You're not going to come here living in fornication and us not say anything. You say, well, then you're going to lose members of your church. Oh, yes, we will. You don't become a mega church by telling people where they're wrong. It just doesn't happen. You want a mega church? You just got to just not mention sin. I remember I heard a interview with Joel Osteen. And Joel Osteen asked him, well, why don't you mention sin? And he says, well, we've got enough negative things in our life that I don't want to bring out any more negative things.
Wow.
No, it's just because you want to have a big church. You're not willing to do your job. I shudder to be in his shoes when he meets Jesus. All right, there's an explanation there. It might be you just hate God. You just don't like the God you see in the Bible. You don't like the God that has demands. You don't like the God that tells you what you're doing wrong. You don't like a God that says, repent. But those were Jesus' words.
Amen.
Repent.
Amen.
Change your mind. Turn around. Stop being that way.
Right.
That's what God says. All right, number three, it's a lamentation. If only they had listened to me. This is God saying, you know, they'd have just endured forever. It would have just gone on and on. It would have just been wonderful forever if only they had listened to me. If only they had submitted. If they would just have been submissive. If they'd have just been more moldable, more instructable, more correctable, humbler to receive correction. You know, we all need correction, right?
Amen.
I mean, wouldn't you appreciate it if somebody came up to you and whispered and said, your fly is down?
Yeah.
Of course you would appreciate that.
Yeah.
Somebody says, you know, you got a piece of broccoli in your teeth. Oh, thank you. Of course you want correction. But what about when the pastor says, your skirt's a little short? How dare he? What, how dare he notice? You think we don't notice when your skirt's too short? Yeah, we notice. And we're not supposed to say anything? Just mind our own business? You ought to be more correctable.
Amen.
And think about how much better things would be if you had been more correctable.
Right. Amen.
I can think of many people's lives right now that if they had said, I'm going to do what God wants, even though it's against what I want, and their lives would be better. Their lives would be better. I can think of marriages that would have been saved.
Amen.
If they had just
Amen.
Been more correctable.
Amen.
I can think of children who would not be in prison.
Yeah.
If they had been more correctable.
Yeah. Amen.
And can you see God saying, I had some real plans for you. Now think about it. You've got children. You've got grandchildren. I do. I got children and grandchildren. And I have an imagination about them. I think, oh, I want them to have this and I want them to be this way and I want them to be blessed and I want God to be on their side and I want them to be going to church and I want them. And then I see them and they're going a different direction. And I can go tell them, I say, you know, this is, no, but they're going a different direction. And you want to say, well, wait, don't do that. And then after a while, they've made decisions and they're proud of their decisions and they don't want to be told what to do. And you know, all I can do is say, if only. I wish. It would have been better. Boy, you would have saved yourself a lot of trouble. And you don't want to be the parent that always says, I told you so.
Amen.
My dad was always that way. He'd say, I told you so. I never liked that. I make mistakes, so I told you you shouldn't have done that. I tried to put some sense into you. Nobody wants to be that parent, but you feel it. If you'd have just listened to me.
Amen.
There's a lamentation. Did you know that God laments when you throw away your life? Did you know he's sad when you lose a blessing that he's got for you? I mean, there's some foods that I really like and I try to offer them to my grandchildren and they don't want to try them. And I feel bad. I think, you know, man, you might really like this. You really might enjoy it. But I feel sad because they don't want to try it. I don't know. It looks a little funny or I don't know. I don't know what the reason is, but they don't want to try it. And I can see God saying, why don't you go this way? And no, we don't want to do that. We just resist God's will in our life. And God is thinking, oh, it would have been good. It would have been better. Your life would have been better. And you might right now be living a hard life because of your decisions. And you might be right now making decisions that are going to make your life hard. And they're your decisions to make. You're going to make those decisions and you're going to bear the consequences. Every tub sits on its own bottom. That's an ancient piece of wisdom from Lyndall Kincaid. Every tub sits on his own bottom. You're gonna have to live the consequences of your decisions, but there's a lot of people who love you that are gonna be saying, if only. Oh, it would have been better. Yeah, there's a lamentation there. I see the lamentation. It's also an obligation. Did you know you are obligated to do some stuff? You're just obligated. You have to. It's not an option. It's an imperative. It's a moral imperative. And submitting to God is a moral imperative. Now ask yourself why. Why should I, a free American, have to submit to God? Because you're breathing His air.
Right. Amen.
You're eating His food. There is no artificial food. You didn't make your own food. Somebody grew it out there using sunshine that God gave free and using the DNA and a piece of a plant that caused it to bear fruit, something you could eat. And if you have to go out and chop up rocks and turn rocks into food, you starve to death. You can't mine food. Even if you go to Mars, you can't mine food. You are dependent on God. That means you owe Him obedience. You owe Him submission. And by the way, His will is better.
Amen.
By the way, think about it. First of all, God is creator, so He deserves to be obeyed and submitted to. He deserves that. It's appropriate for you to submit to God, the King of the universe. How about number two? He's sovereign. He's way more powerful than you, and He's making decisions every day without asking your opinion. Maybe you ought to care about what He thinks. Maybe you might ought to want to be on His side. Don't make Him mad at you because He's making decisions about you right now. Right now He's making decisions about what's going to happen to you today. Oh, I think I would submit. Okay, God, oh, I'm on your side. What do you want? You're sovereign. You do whatever you want. Nobody can appeal His decision. You can't go to a higher authority and say, wait a minute, I don't think that's fair. God is God. He is sovereign. And He's making decisions without asking you your opinion.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what you think. He's God. That's another reason you ought to submit. And let me tell you something. God is good.
Amen.
He's not like you. A little bit of evil in there, isn't there? A little bit of revenge in there, a little bit of despising of others in there. You can make decisions that aren't what's best for somebody else. Even a parent can make decisions that's not what's best for the child. They can make decisions what's best for themselves.
Amen.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it happen many times. I was interpreting in one of the drug courts in there, and a lady was there with her, I guess about a 12 or 13 year old child. His name was Cameron, and he was dressed like a girl, had his hair in a ponytail, and had makeup all over. And I'm thinking, what is going on here? Divorced lady turns her little boy into a little girl. And he sort of fit the part when he was 13, but the next time I saw him, he was 16. And this was like a bodybuilder. This was a big 16-year-old man, still with his ponytail, still in a skirt, still wearing... And I'm thinking, you selfish mother, you selfish mom, for whatever reason, you did not save him from that. That's wrong.
Amen.
Boy, is that wrong. God wouldn't do something that would harm you. Parents might. But God won't. What does God say? Can a mother forget her suckling child? And then He says, yes, they may. But I will not forget you. That's what God said. A mom can forget her own baby, but God will not forget you. God is good. There's another reason why you ought to submit, and it's terribly appropriate, and that's because God is wise.
Amen.
God's a lot smarter than you are. In case you haven't noticed, just do any kind of studies in any field, and you'll see, wow, God's a whole lot smarter than I am.
Amen.
God knows his business. I was doing some research. I'm not going to get into that because your eyes might glaze over, but I'm telling you, you start researching these things, you find out God is way smarter than us. And by the way, God's been around a long time. He's seen this before. You think there's something new under the sun? You think you've just discovered something? You think you've got a new situation that he hasn't seen before? No, he knows. God is wise. He's seen it all. He can tell you what's best. He can give you good advice for what's best in your life because he's God. There's good reasons. Good reasons for you to submit. God is worthy. He's worthy to be submitted to.
Amen.
He is great and glorious and mighty and incredible. He is the kind of person that will blow you away the moment you see him. He will blow you away.
Amen.
Submit to him? Oh yeah, absolutely. I can understand you not wanting to submit to Trump. I can understand you not wanting to submit to the Supreme Court or to the police officer that pulls you over. Sure, I can see that, but you're not going to submit to God? God? Boy, he's glorious beyond your imagination.
Amen.
You haven't even seen anything yet.
Amen.
And when you see him, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. He's worth submitting to. You bow down prostrate on your face saying, oh, God is worthy. God is worthy of my life. And whatever decision he makes for me, I'll take it. I want what he has for me. God is worthy. He deserves our glory. He deserves our praise. He deserves our submission. He deserves our surrender. So it is an obligation. Number four, it is an obligation. It is an observation. I want you to notice he says they should have submitted. They really should have submitted. That's an observation. They're saying, wow, it would have been better. This would have been better if they had submitted. Look at that. Think about it. It's wise counsel. God doesn't have to force you to do anything. He could just say, why don't you try this? Isn't that what those guys worked all night long, couldn't catch a fish? And Jesus says, try on the other side. Oh, okay. Throw the net out on the other side and bring in a harvest.
Yeah,
because God is giving you good advice.
Amen.
God doesn't have to force your hand. God doesn't have to kick you in the tail. God can just say, hey, why don't you try this? He does that a lot in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, why don't you try turning the other cheek? I mean, I've done the other, where somebody hits you and you hit them back. Yeah. Somebody cuts you off, so you pass them up and cut them off. Yeah. You ever done that? It doesn't solve anything. And God says, I got a better idea. What's your better idea? Turn the other cheek.
Amen.
Ooh. And guess what? It works.
Amen.
It works. Man, God, did you know that submission to God is propitious to happiness? And I really don't think you should over-focus on happiness, no matter what the Declaration of Independence says. Don't over-focus on happiness. Because if you think life is about making yourself happy, you will ruin your marriage. You will ruin your life. Because it's not really about your happiness. In fact, if you will focus on other people's happiness, you'll be a whole lot happier.
Amen.
Try to make somebody else happy.
Amen.
Are you depressed? Are you melancholy and depressed and you can't get out of your funk? Go try to help somebody.
Yeah.
Just go out and try to help somebody else. Go do something good for somebody. You'd be amazed how happy that makes you. It just gets you right out of it.
Amen.
It really does help. It's an observation. It's sober advice. God's trying to give you some wisdom. He's not trying to run your life. He is a gentleman. He doesn't want to interfere in your life. He wants you to make decisions. But when he gives you advice, he's thinking, this would be very useful for you if you would submit. If you would just let my will be done in your life, your life would be better. It's propitious to happiness. And by the way, as an observation, it's easy. It is not hard to submit to God. You can do this. Amen. This is a doable thing. Which of the Ten Commandments is hard? Thou shalt not kill? Is that hard? No, it's not hard. In fact, it's a lot of work to go around killing people. Not that I've ever tried, but I'm imagining that's a lot of work. Sin is a lot of work, by the way. It is tiring. Sin is exhausting. I know that I don't sin as much now as I used to, but not because I'm wiser or more spiritual. It's just because I'm tired. I'm old. I can't sin as much as I used to. I just don't have the energy to do that kind of thing anymore. It's just not worth it. Did you know that submitting to God is just easier?
Thank you, Lord.
Submitting to God is a better choice in your life. What a good observation. You realize that we often submit to people who aren't God? All the time. Every single day you're submitting. I see it all the time. I'm driving along down the road, not even a mile over the speed limit. Just barely moving. People are going zoom, zoom, zoom. And then all of a sudden you see everybody slowing down. And now they're all going the same speed as me. And then I see the cop up there. Look how easy it was to submit. You just slow down a little bit and you submit. I do it too, guys. I'm the same way. It's easy to submit because you do it all the time. You're constantly submitting. You're constantly letting somebody else's decision run your life. Always. Why not God?
Right, amen.
Why not make God and make His will your go-to thing? I mean, whether it's in your marriage. I mean, Brent said something that's going to split the church. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband. Well, yeah. But really, seriously, wives, that's actually fairly easy to do. No, I know. Your husband's a real piece of work. I get it. I remember I talked to a lady one time. She came to me. She says, oh, Bill, my husband's divorcing me. She's a Christian. And I said, I am so sorry. I don't know what to say. She says, well, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? And I thought she was asking sincerely. And I said, well, were you obedient? Were you obedient? You have never seen smoke come out of ears so fast. Obedient! I think I know why he's divorcing you. I don't know what kind of pastor you think you are. You're some kind of pastor to tell me I'm supposed to be obedient to my husband. I'm just telling you what God said.
Yeah, amen.
That bother you? Hey, you are submitting all the time, just not to God.
Right.
You're submitting to the IRS. You're submitting to the traffic cops.
Right.
You're submitting to Albert Uresti. Yeah, you do. You write the stupid check every single year. You write it out. You send it. It's irritating, but you submit. Why can't you submit to God? It's not that hard. It's a good observation. Number six, it's an invitation.
Yes.
They should have submitted. You know what God is saying? I got a solution. That was Jesus. The first words that came out of his mouth when he started preaching in Galilee. You know what it says? Repent. That's a solution.
Yes.
Did you know that you can submit right now?
Amen.
You can just make a decision in your life. I'm not going that way anymore. I'm going to submit to God's will in my life. And then all of a sudden you get interested in the Bible. What does the Bible say? I don't care what the Pope says.
Right.
I don't care what the priest says. I don't even care what the preacher says. I want to know what the Bible says. And if you're a preacher, show me in the Bible. Show me what the Bible says. Explain it carefully. Make sure I'm not misunderstanding anything. Make it clear. And if it's clear in the Bible, I'm going that way.
Amen.
That's the way I'm going. That's called submission. And you know what God says? They should have.
Yeah.
They should have submitted. They really should have. And by the way, you can.
Amen.
You can right now. You can just say, you know, I'm tired of going my own way. I'm going to start caring what God thinks. You're shacking up? It's easy. Separate. Go down there and get yourself a marriage license and get married. And you know, God says, do it my way and you do it His way and everything becomes better.
Yeah.
Amen. Everything becomes better.
Amen.
Now I know that doesn't mean everything becomes easy.
Amen.
But it definitely becomes better.
Amen.
It's a change in your lifelong attitude. It's a life-changing attitude. It's a attitude-changing, I know there's a way of saying that, and I'm not getting it out. It's a change in your attitude for life, about life. It's like saying, my life is no longer going to be about what I want to do, but it's going to be about pleasing God and doing what He would want me to do. And if you get that attitude in your mind, you've gotten changed. And everything starts working out. And then God doesn't just say He should have. He can say He did it. I'm so pleased with Him because He changed His mind. He turned around. Did you know this is an invitation? Did you know that God nearly always gives an invitation? He's saying, come on, turn around. Look at the last chapter of the Bible. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely.
Amen.
How much more open and inviting can God be? You think God is saying this because He wants to condemn you? He doesn't want to condemn you. He's only saying this because He wants to help you. He wants to do what's best for you. He wants you to care about the Bible. Not care so much about the tradition your parents gave you. How about care about what He says?
Amen.
Because there's rebellion even in that. I know people who say, I'm not going to change my religion no matter what. Well, there's some submission. There's some rebellion for you. What about when God says something different than what your parents taught you? Ooh, you better be careful. Because God is superior to your parents.
Amen.
Superior to your tradition.
Amen.
You'd be amazed how much trash goes on in tradition.
Right.
How much corruption. How many lies are told. I believe it was St. Chrysostom that said no matter how old the lie is, it doesn't stop being a lie. All right. There is a practical decision you can make to care about God's will in your life. And if you do that, you make that decision to care about His will in your life, it's a step to salvation. It's a way to get close to God and say, God, would you forgive me of my sins and give me eternal life? Would you help me? Would you save me? Would you change me? I want to belong to you. And it's a life-changing attitude. It's a way to turn your life around and become one of God's own so that He claims you for His own. And it will fill you with joy that cannot be explained by natural means. It's not the kind of joy you get when you win the lottery. It's not the kind of joy you get when you ate a really good meal or somebody gives you a gift card to Texas Roadhouse. No, it's a different kind of joy. It's the kind of joy you get knowing that God is on your side and that He cares about you. It's worth it. They should have submitted, and you can. Lord, I ask You to bless this congregation. I ask You, Lord, to take care of us as we go our separate ways. Bring us back tonight to worship You in the Lord's Supper. Take care of everyone here, Lord. If there's someone here that doesn't know You as a Savior, they have not been submitted to Your Word, they have not cared about Your will too much, You'd change their thoughts, You'd change their mind, and you'd become preeminent in their minds that they would seek to serve You. And I ask You to save their souls. Lord, I ask You to bless us. And I ask You in Jesus' name. Amen. Come back. 7 o'clock tonight.
Amen.